Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. I regret to say that my guest, Mr. Kareem Ismail, is not going to be able to join us today. He is quite ill. I got an email from him early this morning saying that he was so very, very sick that he just could not do the show. But we're going to be rescheduling him. For those of you that had checked in with my listing of guests, this book is called Keep Any Promise. It's a wonderful publication, and I know you'll enjoy hearing him. So we'll be rescheduling him for next month. Meanwhile, we're going to have an open mic day. That's right. So what that means is you'll be able to call in at any time during the hour and chat with me. If you would like for me to light up your insight, light up you with a little bit of my insight, I should say, all you have to do is call in to the telephone number 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, that's worldwide, so no matter where you are, you can call in and chat with me during this hour because of our guest cancellation. So, again, 888-815-9756, and all I need from you is your first name or your initial. When I was out doing some errands today, I was fascinated with the topic about tolerance and intolerance, racism, all kinds of remarks were being made. And I thought to myself, that might be something that would be worthy addressing in the first part of the program here, because I think tolerance is something that we all have to learn. And we all go through our own learning curves. One of my favorite teachers has been Napoleon Hill. I have a book in my library called The Law of Success, which I consider his masterpiece. And this man was so special. If you've never heard of Napoleon Hill, his book, Think and Grow Rich, still is a bestseller. After many, many, many years of being in publication, it's still out there. And it's still just as full of wisdom as it always has been. Well, it was taken from this original compilation of experiences, sources, and information that he did in the earlier part of the 20th century. It took him 20 years of research and compiling information. And when I think of what he did at that time and didn't have a computer, it was a very laborious process. But he dedicated himself to it and had a lot of flack from many people around him because they said, why are you wasting your time on this? Go out and get a job. What are you doing this for? It was really tough. He had a family to raise, and he was dedicated to his research regarding success. And there is what he calls his lesson for tolerance. And I wanted to share it because it's as timeless in his wisdom, in its wisdom, as it has ever been. He said, first, intolerance is a form of ignorance which must be mastered before any form of enduring success may be attained. Let me say that again. Intolerance is a form of ignorance which must be mastered before any form of enduring success may be attained. In his research, he found that intolerance was the chief cause of most wars. When you really got down to the bare bones and nitty-gritty of everything. It creates enemies very readily, whether it's in the professional arena or in a personal one, and it can totally destroy a society. We're seeing it today. It has always been around in one form or another. And again, usually it is ignorance. And second, he said, intolerance is the chief disintegrating force in so many organized religions in the world, where it plays havoc, and I'm quoting him directly, with the greatest power for good there is on this earth. Because It breaks up power into small sects, and denominations would spend as much effort opposing each other as they do in destroying what they perceive as the evils of the world. It is something that we can look at. I don't know about you, but I've gone through experiences of intolerance that were cruel, very, very cruel. I have experienced discrimination on many levels, both as a woman, as a psychic, as a person that might be in a society that considers me an outsider. I've been on multiple levels. I've been involved in cultures that had a level of intolerance, maybe not necessarily with me, but with other people. And I've seen it demonstrated by every group of people from around the world. It didn't make any difference what their color was. It didn't make any difference what their nationality was. I've seen it. And it's amazing how that intolerance can be perpetuated for a long time. Now again, intolerance and ignorance are hand in hand with each other. And when he was doing this research, a very personal experience happened with Napoleon Hill, and it made him aware of how he was intolerant himself. He had gone to a business meeting and had been asked to be the speaker, and he was very successful, and there was a young college man that came up to him, and he said he was just the nicest looking young man and just very gracious, and he was just so pleased to have the chance to talk to Napoleon Hill. Well, Napoleon Hill, like we all do, looked at the young man, scanned him. Don't you do that with someone when you meet them for the first time? Well, he observed a Knight of Columbus pin on his vest. Now, many of you may not be familiar with that, but it's a very, very fine organization. But he saw that pin on his vest, and he was talking to this young man, instantly released his hand, walked away from him, just turned his back on him, and walked away. And as he was walking away, he happened to look down on his own vest, and he found that he had a Masonic pin, you know, that's what he put on, because he was a Mason. And he said, "What in the world triggered this type of behavior on my part?" Now remember, he had a response, immediately pulled away from this young man, walking away, looks down, notices the Mason pin that he's wearing, and he's going to himself, "What am I doing here?" And he couldn't shake the feeling that what he had done was very wrong. And it wouldn't leave him. He said he had always taken such pride in the fact that he thought he was very tolerant. He was very thoughtful, very kind, but his behavior that day with this particular young man was anything but that. He said this had been, in his observation, a spontaneous outburst of intolerance. So he said somewhere in his subconscious, there was something that had put him into what he called the narrow mind syndrome. So he kept asking himself the question, why did I so abruptly release that young man's hand and turn away from him? I knew nothing about him. What was going on in my head? Well, he began to do some research on himself. And he found that how it evolved in him came from his interaction with his father. And it came from part of his religious indoctrination that he had gotten when he was quite young. And it had to do with Catholicism and Protestantism and all this kind of stuff. And he said, "Holy Moses, I made a judgment about someone because they were wearing a pin." And it had flipped all the way back to what he realized he had been indoctrinated with when he was younger. Now, he thought he had overcome that. And he then became consciously present with his own attitudes. Quite a big step, wouldn't you say? I'd say so. So he said, how would you feel if you instantly discovered that most of your philosophy of life had been built on bias and prejudice and ignorance, and that you were far removed from being that tolerant person? It would really make you think, wouldn't it? It would make you aware that you've got to take some time to really think through some things. So what he started to do was do research on himself. He said, I wanted to find out where I had acquired my views of religion, of politics, of economics, and all kinds of subjects. And this is what he discovered. Napoleon Hill found that most of his views on all kinds of subjects, without support of a reasonable hypothesis, he said, existed. And he said, not only that, but there were not sound facts or reason behind what he had adopted. He realized that he had just accepted what somebody else had said. Learning to think is not a process that we are typically encouraged to do. When you go to school, you've got to do what the teacher says, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, but it's rare to be in an environment where people will say, challenge me, ask me questions, let's see what I can do. I remember when I would do that, and when I was a kid, I usually got popped in the mouth for questioning anybody. That happened so many times to me. I got in trouble all the time. This is what Napoleon was finding. Napoleon Hill was so honest. When he was talking with a friend who had been in politics, he said, why are you of a particular party? So the guy said, well, it's because my father was of that party. He said, great. He said, would you belong to the horse thief party if that had existed, if your dad had been one? And the guy was surprised. Napoleon, in his research, said, too often we hold opinions that are based upon no sounder foundation than that of what someone else believes. And that is really very, very true. I have done the same thing. Don't you interact with certain people and you feel like you can trust them, and if they have had a certain experience, then you say, wow, that's really something. But isn't it a good idea to question at times? When I started into the psychic area, I was told that I wouldn't be able to do readings for people without having an object in my hands or something that belonged to them. In fact, I was told not to do it at all, that that was not the right thing to do. Well, that didn't stick with me because circumstances showed me that I could do it. In fact, it's demonstrated on this show every day when I have a chance to talk to someone. It doesn't make any difference where people are, but we get afraid. And many times there are people even that we love. They have all these fears, and maybe they have them rightfully so. I've known of people that came through the Second World War that experienced such horrific things that they've never been able to be free of them. They don't know how. And so their whole life is governed by the pain of the past. And it doesn't have to be a war. It can be a relationship that dissolved. I was talking with someone the other day, and they have a friend who for over 40 years has been just in a miserable relationship, absolutely miserable. But that person doesn't know how to let go of the misery. They don't know that they really want to let go of it. They've bought into certain ideas and thought factors, and they don't know how to let them go. Well, that is something that I wanted to share with you today. Every time somebody starts talking about attitudes, about racism and all kinds of things, we have to stop and ask ourselves where we are going to put our thinking. Where do our beliefs come from? And it's amazing when you question and when you examine, just like Napoleon Hill did, you'll find that you have some stuff up in your mental attic that's in your file cabinets that rarely are ever opened, But just like Napoleon Hill, you could have a spontaneous experience where all of a sudden a file cabinet is opened, a file is flipped open, and you are there acting or reacting in a way that you would never want to do. Napoleon learned from his experience, and he passed along his wisdom in his book, The Law of Success, and it was also in Think and Grow Rich. I encourage you to read his material. There are some authors, as far as I'm concerned, they're timeless because of the wisdom that they impart. And I think no matter what age group you're in, we all, to one degree or another, have seen views of intolerance that are just appalling. And we wonder, why are they still in existence? For the same reason they've ever been in existence. It's because of fear. It is because of ignorance. It is because change is something that is not comfortable. Or they may not even be aware that there is an opportunity to change. So I thought I'd share those short thoughts with you today, because when I think of all of the wars that are going on around the world, and I'm not even talking about the one that the U.S. is involved in, there are wars between tribes and peoples where there's these slaughters that go on, and they'll use all kinds of justifications. And there is not. There isn't any. But they will use whatever they find convenient. And that is what we need to be aware of. And it all starts with each of us. With the way that we treat others, with the way that we think, with the way that we express ourselves. Don't be afraid to question. People don't necessarily like that. But many times, as the old saying goes, it's a squeaky wheel that gets the grease. Napoleon Hill, good guy. I really enjoy his work, and again, I encourage you to read it if ever you have the opportunity. Because I do not have my guest, who's very, very ill today, though that telephone line is open for you. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, you can call in at any time during the hour, 888 815-9756 is the telephone number to call into, 888-815-9756. Well, I want to thank those of you who have been sending me stories and emails. I've got some mind exercises for you. I really had fun with this one. I hope you will, too. And one of the things people will say, if you really want to keep sharp and, you know, as you're getting older, it's always good to have different things that challenge the mind. So these are five riddles, and I'll share a couple of them with you because I think that they are really interesting, and I'll give you the answers later on in the program. Here is the first riddle. A murderer is condemned to death. He has to choose between three rooms. The first is full of raging fires. The second is full of assassins with loaded guns. And the third is full of lions that haven't eaten in 3 years. Which room is safest for him? The other one is, what is black when you buy it, red when you use it, and gray when you throw it away? Okay, those are two. And if you can sort of ruminate on that for a little bit, I'll give you the answers after our first break at the bottom of the hour. But in the interim, again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share some information with you today, too, about Facebook. Now, I know I am on Facebook, but I have to tell you, I don't have a lot of time to spend with Facebook, but it has been a wonderful communication system for so many people. But there are rules of etiquette with Facebook, and I thought I would share some of these with you because we are evolving into an electronic environment where there's new codes of etiquette developing. And here are a couple of the challenges that have come up with Facebook. People will say, I want you to be my friend, I want you to be on my list, so on and so forth. Well, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you don't want to accept it. Then you don't have to. Now, Robin Adams at the Boston Globe, who is their etiquette columnist, said, you don't have to feel like you're obligated to be a friend to anybody online. If you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. Now, she's put out a book called Misconduct's Mind Over Manners. And lots of times you may get requests from people you don't even know. And there's someone that said, somebody who has more than 1,000 friends on Facebook is probably collecting them like merit badges. Also, you may not want, because of personal reasons, to have that person there. Sometimes there's old boyfriends that get, or girlfriends that maybe you just as soon leave behind. So remember, if you click ignore on an unwanted friend request, the sender won't be notified. That's right, they won't do it. All you have to do is click ignore, and they then won't get any response from you. Or you can accept the request and then wait a few days and remove the person from your list. So it can be done a couple of ways. Also, if you find it boring, I mean, who cares if someone painted their toenails fuchsia green? I mean, who needs it? Well, there are a lot of people that can sit on the computer and come up with all kinds of nonsense. All right, if you feel like people are sending you too much stuff, it's utterly boring, you just hit the hide function. That'll take care of what you don't want to be bothered with. Now, what if you wrote a post that you really are unhappy that you put that out there? The suggestion is remove it, but don't apologize. That just attracts attention. And the Mr. Greg Atwan, who is really knowledgeable about Facebook, he says people probably didn't see it anyway, since the average Facebooker is keeping up with just about 120 people. So it may not have even made a difference. So take this stuff off if you don't want it there. If someone has made an inappropriate comment on your Facebook page, just remove it, which should send the offender a loud and clear message. And then someone tagged an individual with an unflattering photo. And Greg said you can untag it yourself. Then go into your privacy settings to choose who can view your photos. The privacy settings are Facebook's most underused functions, and they also let you block certain users and limit what other people can see on your page. So, as always, when you're out there and it is public, just remember, in this electronic age, I'm astonished at the speed that people are able, one, to get stuff up online, and two, how quickly it's picked up by so many other people. But remember, there's always that delete button. And if you're unsure of what you're putting up, don't put it up. If you don't want to take a chance, just don't do it. It's not that important. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. We have an open mic day today, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I do want to let you know who's going to be on with me tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Marion Rosen. We're going to be talking about her husband, who is a fascinating man, was in World War II, and the book is titled A Kid from Pittsburgh. This is his true story. She put the story together feeling that this should be put in print for people to read. And it's a fascinating one. I know you'll enjoy them. And then if you love horses, I love horses. Linda Anderson and her husband, Alan, have just come out with a brand new book called Horses with a Mission. Now, Linda and Alan are just animal lovers anyway, and they've been on my show before. But this time, they've been with about dogs and cats, and we've talked about that. But this book is priceless with the stories. Horses with a Mission. So that's going to be on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Amalia Starr, Raising Brandon, Creating a Path for Your Adult Kid with Autism. Fortunately, in today's world, we're not locking people away. And this is her story about how she was able to take her autistic son and enable him to be able to live on his own. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about the 12, A New Beginning. Bill Gladstone is going to be my guest, and this is going to be fascinating. It's all about the Mayan prophecy and the different things that have been coming up about 12, 21, 12. So I think you'll find it interesting. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I had someone ask me what they would do if they wanted to be a guest on my show. So if you know of someone who is an author and they would like to be interviewed by me, I do have to receive their material first. So if you have a book, all you have to do is send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and that's S like Sam, 2 E's like Edward, B like Boy O Show, and that's Post Office Box 97272, and that is Tacoma, T-A-C-O-M-A, Washington 98497. And be sure that you include a press release, also a business card, and then that way, along with your book, so that I can review it. And I'm happy to do that. And I do like to tell people that most of the time I don't do novels because I prefer the real thing. I like nonfiction to fiction. But every once in a while, just like with Tom Sawyer last week, No Place to Run, there's just electrifying stories. So if you have something you want to send it along, then do that. And it takes me about, oh, I'd say 6 weeks to go through the review process because usually I have anywhere from 25 to 100 books waiting in line to review, and I do read them. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Also, don't forget, those of you in the state of Washington, if you will mark your calendar, September 26th, which is a Saturday, not too far away, I am going to be appearing along with a number of other people at the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club Expo. The hours are from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. And I'm going to not only have a booth there that's going to have a lot of books that I'm going to be purging from my own personal library that you have an opportunity to have, but I'm also going to be speaking while I'm there and doing many consultations. Now, this Expo is very special. It's a semi-annual event, and people from all over come in to share their services, their products, and it's a wonderful family event. It's just the greatest group of people there, and it's sort of like, oh, I want to say a down-home kind of feel. It's just wonderful. The people will talk to you. If you are wanting to develop your own psychic skills, you can do it. Now, it's being held at Kent Commons, 525 4th Avenue North, Kent, Washington, 98042. Again, Kent Commons at 525 4th Avenue North in Kent, Washington, 98042. Go to their website, which is www.bepcweb.org. That is Boy Edward Paul Charlie Webb.org, and you'll get all of the details. They even have a map for you. So if you need directions on how to get there, for those of you that are listening from the state of Washington, I invite you to come and join us. It's just a wonderful event, and come by and say hello. I'd love to chat with you. Now, one of the things that someone sent me that I thought was cute is if you have a teenager and you always have a hard time getting a call back from them, well, all you need to do is if they won't return your calls, unless you call the number and hang up as soon as the voicemail picks up, your number is going to come up as a missed call, and he won't know if you want to say hi, if you're giving him $1,000, or if you want him to get home right now. You usually will get a call back pretty fast. And I had to chuckle. That was done by Pamela Satran. She's a woman that obviously has dealt with this on a regular basis. So she says, if you want this to be the result of find out where they are, what they're doing, do that. The only thing I would say to that is if they have the phone turned on, it's not going to work very well. If they're anything like some that I've known, they've got it in their pocket, and if they turn it off, they totally forget about it. But I guess most kids are a little different. They really have it on all the time, especially those that have the texting phones. I'm just amazed at how they're carrying it around, and they're in the grocery stores, or they're on their bikes, or they're doing something, and they're just texting away. Fascinating stuff. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. More good things to share with you, especially if you want to chat. Oh, and I'll give you the answers to the riddle that I shared with you just a moment ago. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. And again, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me anything that you like when I finish telling you what I perceive. And it's painless, believe me. Okay, the riddle. A murderer is condemned to death. He is to choose between 3 rooms. The first is full of raging fires, the second is full of assassins with loaded guns, and the third is full of lions that haven't eaten in 3 years. What do you think the answer is? Well, if you guessed the room full of lions that hadn't eaten in 3 years, that's the correct answer, because they all would have been dead if they hadn't eaten for 3 years. So that would be the safest. Now, the next one I threw at you was, what is black when you buy it, red when you use it, and gray when you throw it away? If you're a barbecuer, you'll know all about this. It's charcoal. That's right, charcoal. It's black when you buy it, has to be red hot when you're ready to use it, and gray because it's ash when you throw it away. Just a couple of those. I have a few more that were sent to me, so I'll share those with you at another time. Also, I received from one of our listeners, Lon. He said, Donna, I think you're really going to enjoy it. If you think you've got long fingernails, take a look at these. Now, this came out through the Associated Press. There are 2 people that have been photographed. One is a man of darker skin tones, and he has fingernails that are beyond belief. They are so long that he has to lift his hands up so that they're not touching the floor. And they're curled in all different directions. Standing next to him is a woman with silvery colored hair, And she has nails that remind me of bear claws, but imagine them about, you know, 3 feet, 4 feet long, and on all 10 of her fingers. Now, this was an updated image. It was provided by the Guinness World Records book launch. It shows Lee Redmond, that is the man. He had the former record for the longest fingernails, 28 feet 4 inches. Can you wrap your mind around that one? He was, Lee is the female, excuse me. She was posing with Melvin Booth. He's the male. He's got the longest fingernails. He beat her. So the lady had 28 feet 4 inches of fingernails. The man beat her. He had 29 feet 8 inches. I mean, it's unbelievable. You wonder, how can these people even get themselves dressed? They must have personal maids. Now, this photo that I have in front of me that was sent out by the Associated Press was taken just a few months prior to Lee Redmond's accident, which caused her to lose all of the fingernails. They had to cut them. Can't you imagine her being rolled into the hospital? Guess what the first thing they do? Off for the nails. This was a photo that was going to be for the 2010 edition of the Guinness World Records, but she had held the record, and now this gentleman, he holds the record. Boy, I wonder if he ever leaves his house. I wonder what he does. He can't do much of anything. He certainly couldn't type on a computer. It just wouldn't work. But anyway, I thought that was fascinating information, and the photo is just awesome. So you might be able to look up Associated Press. This was put out on Wednesday, September the 2nd, and you can see the photo there, I'm sure, on their website. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And then I was sent this story by Gail. I love stories about dogs, don't you? We have two Scottish Terriers, and we've had dogs through the years, and they're just, I don't know, there's just something magical about dogs. But this was something that Gail, who is an adamant lover of dogs, she said, Donna, this is a wonderful story and well worth, you know, reading it. And I agreed. Now, this is about a man who adopted, and this is a true story, he adopted the dog, and his name is Paul Mallory, and, I beg your pardon, his name is not Paul Mallory. Paul Mallory is the name of the man that had previously owned this dog, but let me back up a little bit here. It was a black lab, his name was Reggie, and this gentleman that was looking at him at the shelter, he said, I really wanted to have a dog, but I had just not found the one that was really suitable for me. He saw Reggie's advertisement, that's the dog, that's the black lab, on the local news, and the shelter said they had received a lot of calls, but people had come down to see him just said, no, they weren't lab people. They just didn't want that kind of a dog. So he goes in, and they said, you're the guy. You're the one that needs to have this dog. Well, when he got the dog, they gave him a dog pad, bags of toys, brand new tennis balls, gave him dishes, and also a sealed letter that was written by the person that had owned Reggie before. Well, he and Reggie didn't hit off at all when they got together. For 2 weeks, it was absolute misery for his new owner. And he said he knew he was trying to adjust, but he said, oh, this just wasn't working. He wouldn't go anywhere unless he had two tennis balls stuffed in his mouth. And the prospective new owner didn't think he was going to need all of his old stuff. So he was going to just keep other things in a box. But the dog just wasn't responding to him. He'd say, sit, stay, come, heal. And he didn't listen to anybody. He'd only come to someone when he felt like it. He didn't listen when he called his name. He'd look in his direction after a few times when he's just sort of raising his voice, saying, Reggie, come, Reggie, come. And then he would just sort of sigh, and he'd do whatever he needed to do. He chewed through shoes, through unpacked boxes. He said it was just a miserable 2 weeks. Well, he was really upset. And he just said, this dog's got to go back. It's just not going to work for me. Well, he managed, because he wanted to be sure he had everything to go back to the shelter that he had been given. So he's gathering everything up. And when he's doing this, he had tossed the pad that had been given for the dog to lay on in his direction. And Reggie went right over to this pad and was sniffing it, wagging his tail, was just so excited. And he thought, what is with this dog? This dog is really weird. Well, he just couldn't get any response out of the dog. Well, he called the shelter and said, you know, I'm going to bring this dog back. I really can't. It's just not happening. My life is miserable with this dog around. Well, after he finished with his call, as he was hanging up, he noticed the sealed envelope that had been sent along with all of Reggie's things. He'd completely forgotten about it. And he said, okay, Reg, let's see if your previous owner had any advice. This is what was in the letter left by the previous owner. To whoever gets my dog. Well, I can't say that I'm happy you're reading this, a letter I told the shelter could only be opened by Reggie's new owner. I'm not even happy writing it. If you're reading this, it means I just got back from my last car ride with my lab after dropping him off at the shelter. He knew something was different. I've packed up his pad and toys before and set them by the back door before a trip, but this time, it's like he knew something was wrong, and something is wrong. That is why I have to go to try to make it right. So let me tell you about my lab in the hopes that it will help you bond with him and he with you. First, he loves tennis balls. The more the merrier. Sometimes I think he's part squirrel the way he hoards them. He usually always has two in his mouth. He tries to get a third in there. Hasn't done it yet. Doesn't really matter where you throw him. He'll bound after it, so be careful. Really don't do it by any roads. I made that mistake once, and it almost cost him dearly. Next command. Maybe the shelter staff already told you, but I'll go over them again. Reggie knows the obvious one, sit, stay, come, heel. He knows hand signals, back, to turn around and go back when you put your hand straight up, and over if you put your hand out right or left. Shake for shaking water off, and paw for high five. He does down when he feels like lying down. I bet you could work on that with him some more. He knows ball and food and bone and treat like nobody's business. I trained Reggie with small food treats. Nothing opens his ears like little pieces of hot dog. Feeding schedule twice a day, once about 7 in the morning and again at 6 in the evening. Regular store-bought stuff. The shelter has the brand. He's up on his shots, call the clinic on 9th Street and update his info with yours. They'll make sure to send you reminders for when he's due. Be forewarned. Reggie hates the vet. Good luck getting him in the car. I don't know how he knows when it's time to go to the vet, but he knows. Finally, give him some time. I've never been married, so it's only been Reggie and me for his whole life. He's gone everywhere with me, so please include him on your daily car rides if you can. He sits well in the back seat, and he doesn't bark or complain. He just loves to be around people and me, most especially. Which means that this transition is going to be hard with him going to live with someone new, and that's why I need to share one more bit of information with you. His name's not Reggie. I don't know what made me do it, but when I dropped him off at the shelter, I told him his name was Reggie. He's a smart dog. He'll get used to it and will respond to it. Of that, I have no doubt. But I just couldn't bear to give him his real name. For me to do that, it seemed so final, like handing him over to the shelter was as good as me admitting that I'd never see him again. And if I end up coming back, getting him and tearing up this letter means that everything's fine. But if someone else is reading it, well, it means that his new owner should know his real name. It'll help you bond with him. Who knows? Maybe you'll even notice a change in his demeanor. If he's been giving you problems. His real name is Tank, because that's what I drive. Again, if you're reading this and you're from the area, maybe my name has been on the news. I told the shelter they couldn't make Reggie available for adoption until they received word from my company commander. See, my parents are gone. I have no siblings, no one I could have left Tank with. And it was only my real request to the Army upon my deployment to Iraq that they could make one phone call, the shelter, in the event, to tell them that Tank could be put up for adoption. Luckily, my colonel is a dog guy, too, and he knew where my platoon was headed. He said he'd do it personally, and if you're reading this, then he made good on his word. Well, this letter is getting too downright depressing, even though, frankly, I'm just writing it for my dog. I couldn't imagine if I was writing it for a wife and kids and family, but still, Tank has been my family for the last 6 years, almost as long as the Army has been my family. And now I hope and pray that you make him part of your family and that he will adjust and come to love you the same way he loved me. That unconditional love from a dog is what I took with me to Iraq as an inspiration to do something selfless to protect innocent people from those who would do terrible things and to keep those terrible people from coming over here. If I had to give up Tank in order to do it, I'm glad to have done so. He was my example of service and of love. I hope I honored him by my service to my country and comrades. All right, that's enough. I deploy this evening and have to drop this letter off at the shelter. I don't think I'll say another goodbye to Tank, though. I cried too much the first time. Maybe I'll peek in on him and see if he's finally got that third tennis ball in his mouth. Good luck with Tank. Give him a good home and give him an extra kiss. Good night, every night from me. Thank you, Paul Mallory. Well, the new owner folded the letter and slipped it back in the envelope, and he had heard of Paul Mallory. Everybody in town knew him, even new people like him. He was a local kid killed in Iraq a few months ago and earning the Silver Star when he gave his life to save three buddies. Flags had been at half-mast all summer. I leaned forward in my chair and rested my elbows on my knees, staring at the dog. "Hey, Tank," I said quietly. The dog's head whipped up, his ears cocked, and his eyes bright. "Come here, boy." He was instantly on his feet, his nails clicking on the hardwood floor. He sat in front of me, his head tilted, searching for the name he hadn't heard in months. "Tank," I whispered. His tail swished. I kept whispering his name over and over, and each time his ears lowered, his eyes softened, and his posture relaxed as a wave of contentment just seemed to flood him. I stroked his ears, rubbed his shoulders, buried my face into his scruff, and hugged him. "It's now me, Tank, just you and me. Your old pal gave you to me." Tank reached up, licked my cheek. "So what do you say? We play some ball." His ears perked up again. "Yeah, ball? You like that, ball?" Tank tore it from my hands and disappeared in the next room. And when Tank came back, he had three tennis balls in his mouth. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number is 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a kid from Pittsburgh, so I invite you to join us. Hey, and by the way, just give me a call, and I'll be glad to light up your life with a little insight. What is your favorite season of the year? Well, we're entering into fall, which I have to tell you is one of my favorites. I have always loved fall. I think it's because it has this wonderful perfume that comes with it, and I love the changing colors that occur in the trees. And if you're on the East Coast, oh, by the time October comes in, it's just absolutely a panorama of brilliant colors throughout the East Coast. It's just wonderful. Well, there was a study, there's always going to be a study that they did regarding people, their personalities, and the time of the year. They say often childhood memories are linked to seasons, but there is something that for us, seasons mean something very special. Well, what if spring is the favorite time of the year for you? I absolutely love spring. I don't think really I don't like any of the seasons, but my preference has always been fall first, spring second, and summer third, and winter fourth. But anyway, spring, that'll give you an insight and a little bit into me too. If you love spring, if this is the favorite time of the year for you, spring is, you are a diligent optimist. Isn't that an interesting combination of words? You're vibrant, you're outgoing, you just have all of this wonderful energy that spring typifies. It's when everything's coming to life, and that's who you are. You are idealistic typically. You like to live in the moment. Your head isn't in the clouds. You have a strong work ethic as you strive towards whatever it is that you desire. And in spring, it really inspires you. Now, according to a recent University of Michigan study, the best temperature for sustaining a good productive mood is 72 degrees in your environment. That's just who you are. So this is something. Now, what if fall is your favorite? Well, you're a multifaceted multitasker. And why? You're going to be a busy person. You love the brisker temperatures, and you just thrive because you like dealing with all of the changes with the seasons, and you may one day have to wear something summery and then the temperatures and you change into something else. Intelligent people tend to like autumn because it's full of divergent stimuli. That includes the color of orange, which is an energy booster that's known as an energy color. And you just like it all. You like the changing leaves, the apple picking, the taking in new music and theater. You just love the choices that come with fall. School starts in fall. The holidays are just around the corner. And you do what you love. Fall is just wonderful for you. Now, what if you're a summer person and you just say, oh, summer, I want to live in a place where it's always summer. You're an adaptable extrovert. That's right. Summer is your time. You like the long daylight hours, and you just love the get-up-and-go spirit that the sunshine sends your way. It just seems to fuel your energetic personality. And, of course, summertime is social time, and you are a person that is self-assured, and you like doing all the various activities summertime has to offer. Also, you have to sort of be laid back. It means that you just go with the flow, and you actually enjoy the unexpected, be it an impromptu party, last-minute road trip you put together. You love summertime because it affords you the opportunity to relax. And that is, if that's your favorite season, that's it. Now, we've got one left, winter, and before we know it, it's going to be nipping at our nose. You're a blues-proof nurturer. If you love winter, you are confident and independent. You like yourself. And usually during the winter, that's when people will get cabin fever because they're so isolated. The weather will keep them in. They can't get out and about and do what they want to do. Depending on what part of the country you live in. You are very independent. You are also very nurturing. And you just like being the type of person that enjoys where you are. You are sentimental, you're traditionalist, and you stay cheerful. You don't mind, even if it's snowing outside for days and days and days. You will just take it in stride. You focus on the positive, and that was the result of a British study. Well, I know we're just about out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life sometimes gives you the burps. That's right. You'll get a little bit of something just popping up that you're not expecting, and you've got to adapt. Do it, and don't complain about it. Realize that every opportunity of experience you have is going to enable you to grow and expand your own parameters. So life is a journey. Enjoy each moment of it. Live in the now, because this is really all that you've got, right here, right now. Donna Sebo here. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.